Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Dwarka Dham Ki, Vunamaya Ganga Maya Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki, Sisi Gornitaya Ki, Krishna Balaram Ki, Radha Shama Sundar Lita Vishaka Ki, Jai. So Jayananda was an old friend, very close friend. And we're telling these stories now for the last 35 some years. And each year it gets more relishable. How many have heard the stories of Jayananda before? He's heard for sure. So we have about half. Okay, so there's a new audience, and some of these stories, the old stories, may be repeated, but ultimately, like Prabhupada says, even something old nectar is repeatable. So I'll go back as far as I can remember. Now remember, we're going back 40 years here, so memories are starting to dim out. But let's go back. Jim Kaur was his name before he became a devotee. He went to Ohio State University, got a degree in engineering, mechanical engineering. I was in Bengali Market with another sannyasi friend of mine, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. He was a Sikh. He introduced me to Sikh family. So he went upstairs in Bengali Market. There was a house. Upstairs, we talked to this person, and Sikh man with, you know, all the trimmings. And so I started talking about this friend of mine, and Jayananda. Well, he didn't know by that name, but then he started, well, I went to school with a man that was just like that, Jim Kaur. And so I said, what did he look like? Well, he was very big, very strong. And so it turns out it was Jayananda. This person went to school, was his roommate. In the beginning, he said, he didn't like Indians, but I kind of convinced him, he got to like me, and so he started loving people from India. In any case, all the way through his college years, this man was with him for 4 years as a roommate. So, and that's the standard in most universities, you room with people. And so he was always dedicated, he was always primarily concerned about his studies. He wasn't interested in chasing women, partying. Now, this is the years of the big party mood in America. You go back to the 60s, you know the hippie movement, which was formed specifically for the purpose of bringing our movement to fruition. And so Jayananda was all part of that, although he was older than most of the devotees at the time. He and I are about the same age. I joined late also. And so he was an old person compared to everybody else, everybody in their 20s, and he was in his 30s. And so it made a big difference in those days. And it used to be a common thing to see Jayananda, you know, leading big groups of people and talking to big groups and doing many big things. And so my first impression, we walked into the temple on Henry Street. This is the beginning in the movement in San Francisco. And I saw this. We have a figure in America called the White Tornado, Mr. Clean. And so you won't know about that, American. Okay, so Mr. Clean is a symbol of a white, shaved-headed kind of genie that would spins and cleans everything. And so Jayananda was like, it was like a hurricane. You know, hurricanes, it's a spinning energy, a force that's so strong. And so they thought this man would actually be, must be a pure devotee, because all the intensity, all the energy that he had, it had to come from divine nature. It had to be spiritual. And so Jayananda, before he became a devotee, was depressed about, there was nothing in the material world that's tasteful. So everything had no taste. It was like he was drinking, but that didn't do anything. So he saw this picture of Prabhupada in a newspaper, San Francisco paper. Okay, I'll give it a try. From the picture of Prabhupada, there must be something real here. So he started going to classes and hearing Prabhupada's lectures, and soon Prabhupada was cooking for him, feeding him directly. And so he was getting a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada in the beginning. And so Prabhupada knew what was coming with this person. And he was sent, certainly by Lord Chaitanya, to be like Prabhupada's direct assistant. And so now, go back to these days, now the 60s. These were days when people were doing very outrageous things. I mean, on the common platform, the drugs and the hippies and everything was all the standard stage on that platform where Prabhupada was preaching. Okay, but the empowerment given by Prabhupada to different devotees was way more beyond what anything was going on in that period. So Jayananda was leading the way in empowerment. He could do anything. He went down to the docks. He go down to the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. These are common places. But he go down to where the boga was being collected and sold. So there's one famous story about Banana Louie. And so Banana Louie was this little guy, and he had this big empire on bananas. So Jayananda used to talk to him. First thing that he would do, Jayananda would go down there with a few assistants, and he'd go through all the garbage cans. And so, I mean, they do it here also, but in America it's unheard of. You jump inside, the big Dempsey dumpsters, they're huge. They're big things. You don't see them here. And so not a small garbage can, they're big. And they dump all this produce, because if it gets a little, like a banana, if it gets a little black, you got to throw it away. And like anything that looks a little tainted, if it goes out of date, like on dairy products, used before so-and-so. And so if that date is expired, they have to dump it all. So he would go through all the garbage cans, and he started this. When he started doing this, all of a sudden, it led a way for everybody else to do the same thing. So I saw this happening many times. There was a grocery store across from the temple. What was the name of that place? Start with a B. In any case, devotees I saw in the back going through the garbage cans. I thought, my God, what's going on, man? We've come to this? And so it was a common thing to get all that stuff that was going to be thrown out that was good. Why throw it if it can be used and, you know, you break off, cut off the bad parts and use it? Okay, so Jayananda went to this guy, Banana Louie, and he talked to him, and he talked to him. Finally, he convinced him that we're having a festival, we need some bananas. And so he said, how many bananas you need? Well, how many you got? I got four trucks sitting out here. Well, that'll be okay. So he took four truckloads of bananas, truckloads. I'm talking, you know, it would fill this room. And so they had bananas in every different way. You can roast a banana, you can fry a banana, you can eat bananas raw, cut it up in salad with dahi. You can, there's so many ways to do with bananas. Okay, then there's pineapples. So cutting pineapples, and it tells a story about the plums. And so when you got tons of produce sitting here, and you got to cut it all up and get it ready for, you know, it's a major deal. I happened to be cutting up a salad, myself and Viswareta. This is 75 Rathiatra. So we cut up big, huge, you know, big, huge containers of salad. And they forgot to bring it. And so, in any case, it was a dream that I always thought should happen, that we could feed hundreds of thousands of people. So the first Rathiatra I saw in 75 was like that. It was this lines and lines of hippies sitting there, and they're all sitting there waiting for prasadam. And then we started delivering nice pakoras, samosa, halwa, you know, all this wonderful stuff, sabjis, rice, dal. So a beautiful, wonderful feast was prepared and given out. And so, but prior to these, it's like the pathway for Jagannath's coming. Now it happened to be, there's a story about the wheels. Okay, you know, a wheel has spokes in the wheels. Okay, now Jayananda invented a brand new wheel. Before they were like these crates that you wrap wire, telephone, big huge cables around big huge round like containers so they can be moved. Okay, so they would take these, they would steal these things. And that's how Jayananda built all the carts, called five-finger exercise. So they would use five fingers and, you know, they'd go around with trucks and pick up any loose items sitting around. That's how the whole New York Rathiatra started. It was, they had a truck, and the truck had a back and went down a hydraulic lift, and it picked up anything and then bring it up and bring it in the truck. And that's how they did it. They huge I-beams, railroad ties, you know, big lumber, Everything came from late shopping. And so this is how the Ratiyatra started. Okay, now on these wheels, and so they devised a system by which they make metal struts, and these are the spokes on the wheel. Okay, now Jagannath's cart had the first of these new wheels. Okay, now I saw this without knowing what was going on. I just saw, and what would happen when the cart started moving, when the wheel turned, it would flatten the between the spokes. So instead of a round, it became a hectagon or hectagonal shape. And so that meant when you turn, when a cart moved, it moved. And boom. And boom. So it was like Jagannath was walking. And it actually, you know, boom, boom. Each time the wheel would hit, it would turn and go flat. So actually it was very impressive. I thought, wow, who engineered this? It must have been one of Jayananda's, you know, brainstorms. But it was shaking the whole cart to pieces. So by the time the cart got the Golden Gate Park, it was Jayananda was literally holding the thing together. And as soon as it got there, it just fell apart. And so that was the famous year that Prabhupada stopped the whole cart festival and went off into the forest for a while. Nobody knew what was going on. Of course, he was relieving himself. He came back on the cart, and the procession went on. And so these festivals, the Ratiyatra festivals, and Dinabandhu will tell you more about these, but these are famous moments in Krishna consciousness where everybody got involved. Lord Jagannath's mercy was given to everybody. And behind all of this, when I walked into the first temple in Henry's, the first temple in San Francisco, it was like inside of a hurricane. And there was Jayananda, you know, directing him, sit down, take prasad. First thing that happened, I want you to cut up sabjis. He was directing and commanding and just pushing people in every direction to get work done. It was the last minute before the carts were even able to be moved. And so, and there was a cart sitting out there, you know, waiting to be worked on. And I looked at it, now what, you know, I was a carpenter also, so I didn't tell Jayananda, because I know if I did, I would have been gone. Because he did that to everybody. Anyone who had any kind of facility for with their hands, right away, back to the cart. So I was working more with the artist. I was trained as a painter, and then sculpting with fate. In any case, our connection with Jayananda goes to that moment, and then the Ratiyatra, and then that bringing those carts, and Prabhupada's affectionate looks on Jayananda. Then there was, at that same year, there was a big festival held by one group, and that was an Indian club in San Francisco, and they had invited all the devotees for a feast. So we all came, we sat there, took the feast, and Jayananda was not, he was there, but he wasn't there. He was in the kitchen the whole time, helping cooking and the cutting and doing all that. And everybody else was out, you know, getting ready for Prabhupada to speak. So Prabhupada got up on stage and he asked where Jayananda was. And he always would do that. He was in the kitchen. So he always thought that, you know, I'm not qualified enough to be sitting in there. In any case, if he did sit, he'd fall asleep. Because he was always like, you know, he worked himself out of his body. Basically, he worked so hard that the body couldn't hold it up. And he worked and worked and worked and never stopped. So Prabhupada gets on the stage. And there's a big platform, and there's a stage, and Prabhupada is on Vyasasan, sort of. And he started talking about, to the Indian club members, and there were ladies behind the devotees in the front, were the devotees, behind them were the ladies, and behind the ladies were the kids running wild, and behind them the men. Now the collective sound vibration, the women were screaming at each other, screaming at the kids. And the kids were screaming at each other and running wild, completely bouncing off the walls. And the men behind them were screaming even louder. So here was Prabhupada trying to give a class to a bunch of people screaming it, you know, so loud. Now, I started to think, I used to wonder why Prabhupada went to America and didn't preach in India. And there was the example. Nobody was listening. And so he started talking about, don't give up your natural heritage. You're born in the greatest country in the world. You're born in India, Bharatvarsha. And so there's no higher birth. He says, do not be swayed by the dollar bill. And so it was ironic. As soon as he said that, on stage comes the guy who was leading the club, the president. He came with a garland, and the garland Prabhupada with dollar bills. Now, if you can think of anything more stupid, this is what happened. And Prabhupada is sitting there with this garland of dollar bills, and he started crying. Tears were shooting out of his eyes and hitting all of us in the front row. The tears were actually going out 10 feet from his eyes, just shooting straight out. And so that just shook me to the core. Wow, I mean, that affected Prabhupada so deeply that all these Indians are just losing their heritage, giving up what they're born with, giving up something that's innate to any Indian born in India. That's the greatest birth, especially Vrindavan. If you're born in Brijbasi, where do you go from there? Okay, so Jainan never showed up. And finally, Prabhupada goes to the kitchen after the sort of class he gave, and goes to Jainan and says, why didn't you come out? Well, Srila Prabhupada, I didn't want to. I had work to do here. I don't like to bother. And I fall asleep anyway. So that was the way Jainana went through most of his. He gave amazing classes. I heard one. And he would be like, you know, very studious. But his classes were from a point of realization, a point of understanding and delivering the philosophy more through what he did than through what he said. So he didn't want to spend time. He didn't want to take sannyas, although he was qualified. And in New York, Adi Keshava and he were about to get sannyas. So Adi Keshava did take it, and Prabhupada, here's the youngest and the oldest we have. And so Adi Keshava took, Jayananda didn't take. He just said, I'm not qualified, I can't do that. And so the Rathiyatra festivals, I mean, one after another in San Francisco was all backed by Jayananda. And Nar Narayan, and in New York, we'll go to the New York Festival because this is the climax of his years. And so this is 76 in New York City. Now, there was no money. Now, Prabhupada said, we must have a festival. You must get a permit. I want the festival to go down Fifth Avenue. It must be done, and it must be done immediately. And where are the deities? There were no deities. There was no permit. There was no money. There was no carts. There was only this desire Prabhupada had for the festival. And so He called Adi Keshava. Adi Keshava called Prabhupada and said, are you sure you want this? We're not ready for anything. I said, you must make it ready. And so you call me back again, and I want to have everything in order when you call me back. He hung up. And so what did they do? So Jayananda said, well, you got to give me some money. I don't have any money. He said, okay, he gave him $3,000. $3,000 was enough to buy food for everybody. And so it wasn't enough to build the carts. One cart came from Chicago. It was already a full-built cart. It was a small one, so Subhadra rode on that cart, and Srila Prabhupada rode on that cart. Then two were built. Okay, he did it in that fashion. He had his night shopping center. And so he'd go out with his truck with a few guys, and then they just load up the truck and bring it back. And he had a place where they're renting from the train, from the railroad company, and so they had a big parking lot, and they were subletting the parking lots that they had rented and subletted so other cars could park in there. He was making money on the side to support and get this cart to be built. Okay, and so the new wheel was invented. If you have to reinvent the wheel, they did it in New York in 76, and so that wheel was much stronger. Murali Krishna and his brother were working, and they were like, and Maheshwar was there working, and there were several devotees who already had big experience in construction. So they were helping Jayananda do these new carts. And so they had to be big. They were 50 foot high. So Jagannath and Baladev's carts were like, you know, brand new, fully constructed. And the wheels were at least 10 foot high. And they were very strong, welded by Murali Krishna, who was a welder, whose father was a big construction man in Buffalo. Okay, so these wheels, and Prabhupada said, be careful about the wheels. If Jayananda builds the wheels, they won't work. And so Prabhupada cautioned, said, be careful about the wheels. So they were very cautious about the wheels. They did it, and they worked. And so, and he would invite people to come, and so there was always prasadam at any hour. You never know when to expect it. So sometimes they're like working till 12 o'clock at night, and 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, this big sumptuous feast would come, and he'd make sure everybody sit down and eat the feast. And so this happened over and over again. These people, like, you know, and Prabhupada would do the same thing in Surat. He had all the devotees, or in Bombay, they all sat down, and Prabhupada was sick, but he was like supervising, okay, fill this plate, give more. He was directing the serving. So all the devotees sitting there had to eat as much as they could. And Prabhupada said, we can't eat anymore. He'd give a whole nother plate. So the same thing happened with Jayananda and the devotees that were working with him. They were fed right up to the eyebrows. So this is the way it worked. Work hard, eat hard, and just chant the holy name. So chanting could come any minute. It was in the middle of the rains, and this bird is taking mercy also. And so it would be in the middle of a rainstorm, and it had everybody with orange hats and slickers, and it was all dressed all together in the same kind of outfit. And they're out in the middle of the rain, pouring down rain with a kirtan, you know, with a mridanga plastic covering it. And so it made the newspapers. Even in the rain, they don't stop, was the headlines in the paper. And so that was Jayananda. Kirtan, Prasadam, the Rath Yatra carts, Jagannath, Prabhupada, that was it. No, one line thinking. And so that fateful night, this was just the night before the festival, and the carts were going to roll out, go down Fifth Avenue. They started at the beginning of 59th Street. Okay, so they hoist up, they're trying out Balaram's canopy. And there's a contraption they designed so that when you cranked it, it would go straight up. It telescoped, and it would go right up very high, full height. And on Rath Yatra in San Francisco, in Fifth Avenue, there are no wires, so it can go all the way down without lowering, except when they get to the Golden Gate or the George Washington place. Sigourney Ki Jai, Krishna Bellam, Radha Shama, Sundari Tabashaki. So the park was the end of the thing, and they go underneath the bridge, they had like a gate, they had to go down. Okay, so they had to be able to lower and raise the domes. Now they lifted it all the way up, this is Balaram's cart, and as soon as they got lifted, a big wooden storm came and boom, it broke it, it snapped it, and so the whole thing went down. Now, okay, this is the last hour. This happened around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So by next morning, they had to have the carts out there on the road by, you know, they had maybe 10 hours working. Okay, so, and then the devotees, when they saw this, all the sannyasis went back to Prabhupada. They're running. They're going to get in the car, run back. Prabhupada can't have the festival. The cart broke. And so, no. Adhikeshwa said, we have Jayananda. Ask Jayananda. He says, okay, we can fix it. Jayananda just sat there looking at it, you know, couldn't think of how to do anything. How are you going to do this? You know, the thing is broken. How are they going to fix it? So Maheshwar, Murali Krishna, and the others had a little meeting on how they do it. So they cut it. They just cut out the broken part and put it back together and welded it back together. And so, and then it worked fine. And so, and these people are upstairs. There was a couple, old couple, watching this take place. When they saw that thing break, then he thought, oh my God, these poor guys are working all night long, and they knew that it was going to have to go out that morning. So they came down crying, oh my God, Jayananda. They kind of knew him already. So no problem. So by morning, they were out, they rolled down, they got in front of Central Park, get ready for the festival. Okay, so meanwhile, Jayananda's got leukemia, so he's got big bumps all over his body. He covered it up. He had the saffron-colored jacket, and so he'd work in it. And so they worked all night long, so they couldn't change or shower or anything. So he turned the jacket inside out. The pictures of Jayananda, you know, like that on the front, Back to God magazine. Now it's in a samadhi. He's there, you know, fixed in bronze forever. And so that's throughout the festival in 76. Now some things happened during the festival. As the carts were coming down Fifth Avenue, there was some hectors. I mean, there were people who were heckling and making trouble. They were right next to Prabhupada's cart. and they're causing trouble. Down with the Haris. You guys are a bunch of nonsense. And Prabhupada is sitting there on the cart just looking. It didn't matter because he was so happy. And Jayananda called Radha Balabhu, who was sitting next to Prabhupada, and asked, "What's Prabhupada think about the festival?" And Prabhupada looked at him and he says, "Grand success." And so that was told on walkie-talkie to Jayananda, and he was dancing in ecstasy. Now that guy who was causing trouble had one of these bullhorns or an electric horn that you can amplify your sound. So when he was starting to do that, another devotee poured water down that thing, and that canceled out that finish. Okay, so that was, and then the police threw him off. Now when they got to the down at Washington Square Park, then there was another guy, a big guy, and he was like screaming and yelling, and the stage was set up, Prabhupada's on stage, and they're getting ready for the performance. So they had dancers, and the stage was a drama of Sudama and Kali. In any case, Prabhupada's watching this drama take place outside, and so there was this guy screaming. He was standing right by the water. Here they, in that place in the park, they got a big fountain. There's about 3 or 4 foot of water there. So this guy, this devotee, come running across, and he saw that guy screaming and yelling. He went around and he hit him. He pushed him so hard that he flew about 10 feet back and went right into the water. And all the devotees, "Haribo, Haribo!" And Prabhupada looked and he thought that was wonderful. Okay, so divine justice. Now, some more stories about Jayananda, and then I'll turn it over to my close friend, Dinabandhu. The pants story. I'm going to tell a pants story because it leads into something else. So Jayananda was wearing these old pants, and so he put another pair of pants on top of that. And so the two pairs of pants that we wear really hard, and so they're becoming indecent. He was like getting exposed because he didn't care about what he was wearing. And that was Jayananda. He didn't want, whatever he could wear, just find it, scraps, Salvation Army. And so he said, "No, John, you got to get a pair of pants. Just buy a pair of pants. For God's sake, it don't cost nothing. I can't do it. And even when he was married, his wife wanted to buy saris, and "I can't do it. I can't buy her sari, And it's like, it's Krishna's money. How can I use Krishna's money to give a sari to this girl?" And so he asked the president, Keshava, "I'll do it, don't worry. I'll give her the sari." And she said, "No, I want him, he's my husband. He gives me the sari." And so he said, no, I can't do it, let him give it. And so it didn't work out. He wasn't married very long. It wasn't a very long-lasting wedding. In any case, so he was a natural sannyasi from birth. And so when it came to getting a pair of pants, okay, goes into the store. Now they take care of this now, so you can't get away with it. But if you put on any clothes and walk out with it, you put the pants on and you put your old pants on top, and you walk out. But he was noticed doing this. But now they got a device. Any clothes has got a. If you walk out the store, it rings, and so they catch you red-handed. So nobody steals that way anymore. But Jayananda got caught, and so the cop said, "I didn't want to arrest him." They called the temple and said, "We got this guy here." He says, "You're telling this story all about God." He says, "He didn't want to steal the pants, but he didn't want to pay for it. He couldn't use the money. I didn't have the money. I couldn't give that money anyway. If I had it, it's Krishna's money. I can't give it. It's God. It belongs to God. I can't use his money for myself." So the cop was in tears. And he was already taken to court. And so it went before the court. And the judge heard the story, and he said the same thing. He says, "I just can't do it. I can't, we're here to serve God. That's our whole life." And so the police finally said, he was in tears. He said, "I'll give the money, don't worry." And so he gave the $5 and he got off the hook. Then he goes to the hospital because of the leukemia. And so he's in a hospital, and there sees these guys with all these tubes and he's taking a drip, and he said, I can't end up like this. Out of case of the police. So listen, I want a big tub of pakoras. You bring pakoras. I got to have pakoras. So he ate a whole big, huge tub of pakoras and pulled out all the tubes and off the nose, everything. And so he says, listen, I'm not going to die like this. I got an idea. First, ask the doctor how long I'm going to live. So the doctor came and he asked, when's he going to croak? The doctor was upset. He said, why do you talk like that in front of this patient? He wants to know when he's going to die. When's he going to croak? And said, Doc, don't talk like that. And Jayanath said, listen, it's okay. I don't care. Just tell me when I'm going to go. And I said, well, if you don't take any medication, you got a couple weeks. Okay. So then he told Adi Keshav. He said, listen, I got a plan. Okay, instead of giving these crazy doctors, these quacks, any more money, I'll take all the money for my medical, for my parents, all the trust fund money, give it to Prabhupada. So he did that. He gave another $5,000 in the beginning for a Krishna book. And again, he gave also at the end. So that's all he could do is give. Now, Jayananda, I end up in L.A. at the same time Jayananda did. He came from Tijuana with his herbal medicine for a cure. And so he came to leave his body in L.A. and said he could have come to India. He came once and stayed in Bombay for a while, but he went back. And so this time he's in L.A. And there are many stories about those last moments, those last months. I was living right next door. I had the apartment right next door to his. And so he was like, listening to Prabhupada tape and just going on and being cared for by, he couldn't help it. He had to be, cared for by other devotees. He couldn't handle himself anymore. Okay, so I remember moments that when he was sitting in front of, every morning in Mangalarti, he'd make it in the wheelchair and he'd sit on the floor in front of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, as you're facing the deities, were on the right. He was sitting right in front of Lord Jagannath every day, every morning, swinging back and forth when the kirtan was going on. So he was so connected with Jagannath, you could see almost like he was merging. There was a light connecting them. Then he gave a Guru Puj one morning. And so there wasn't a dry eye in that whole temple, because when he was singing the Gurvastikam prayers, it was just like everybody, just crying. They couldn't stop crying because of the heartfelt emotion that he was singing to his guru. Now, he left his body 7 months before Prabhupada. He knew Prabhupada was going to leave. He didn't want to stay and leave after Prabhupada, so he decided let the disease take its way. And so he was engaged, and I saw it. He was on a phone calling friends and trying to raise money. He went down to Venice Beach and said, this is perfect for Rath Yatra. And so he goes back to the temple, and he started calling in those last moments when he had energy. And so he just tried to raise money, get this Rath Yatra happening. So there was a devotee, Lalitanath, and they started designing and building a cart that was revolutionary. This cart would break down and be loaded on a hotbed, flatbed, and be taken anywhere in America. Okay, that meant Rath Yatra could happen nonstop all over America. So this was a new design, and there was these big pieces of lumber slid into sleeves. They were metal sleeves. And instead of attaching and bolting and screwing down everything, it was all done like that, with sleeves that held all the thing together. Very strong. And again, the wheels are very strong. So this was going on. And then Jayanath's birthday came up, and so for him they made a big Rath Yatra cake, and so one time another cake made by Bhagavan in the shape of a cow, and they gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "You want me to eat the cow?" And so now here's a cake of Rath Yatra, cart in a cake form. Well, he didn't say anything. He didn't talk about the cake. But anyway, when he came, he saw everybody surprised him. They're all waiting behind the wall, and he comes in a wheelchair, and here's his mother and father standing right behind him. He's in a wheelchair, and so they're behind him looking at their son. Tears are already coming out of their eyes. He gets up, and he couldn't walk. He couldn't move. Suddenly, he gets up out of his chair and starts speaking about the glories of Jagannath. And how now we can have Jagannath festivals all over the world because of this new design cart. And so that kind of a cart was sitting right there. And so, he gave that talk and he sat back down and everybody had the cake and it was a big festival. But his parents were helping serve it out. But they could just, you could just see the pain in their heart to see their son go this way. In any case, shortly after, that was it. So it happened May 1st, 1977. That was just 7 months before Prabhupada left. That it was Mangal Arati, and it was just, and Murali Krishna was in the room. He said he was the only one in the room. He says he was chanting, and normally Jayananda wouldn't, in Tijuana, devotees saw him there, and they were seeing he's on the floor, and he had a beautiful bed set up for him. And so, why aren't you on the bed? Prabhupada's picture's there. So he had Prabhupada have the bed, and he would, even in his disease condition, he was on the floor. So at this point, he couldn't do anything about it. He had to get into bed. So at that time, he was kind of shriveled up, like in a lotus or in a fetus position. And so when he was just, you know, really at the very end, and he was in pain, intensive pain of leukemia, so strong that no one could really, you know, imagine the kind of pain he was going through. And so just then, there was a ring and knock on the door, and Jagannath Garland came. And he goes, Hare Krishna. That was it. Jayananda was gone. So, that brings up to the end of the story. Now, Dina Bundo can take the mic. We got another mic here? There are a couple more. Oh, okay, there we go. Go right ahead.
Hare Krishna. Shri Jayananda Prabhu ki. So like Bhakti said, Jayananda was his good friend. He was my good friend. Actually, Jayananda was everyone's good friend. Everybody you met thought that Jayananda was especially his best friend. And he was so humble. Even after he became temple president, you could see him picking up the garbage can and taking it outside and dumping it in the big dumpster. Because anything, it was Krishna's service. It wasn't a question of high or low. Doing the artik is better, taking out the garbage is low class. Whatever was Krishna's service, he was ready to do. And you could see him. I remember one devotee was here 1 year, Jai Rishi. And he was an LA devotee, so he'd always heard that there's this pure devotee in San Francisco, because everybody knew Jayananda was a pure devotee. So one time they went up to San Francisco for Rath Yatra, so he was hoping to see Jayananda. So there was this car there, and there was these big legs sticking out from underneath it, because they have these little things with four wheels, a big platform, and you can lie on your back, and then you can go underneath the car and work and everything. So there was these two legs sticking out, and suddenly this voice came and said, Prabhu, can you hand me that wrench? And he said, okay, and he handed the wrench to somebody underneath the car. Then a few minutes, all of a sudden, you know, the little cart comes out from underneath the car. This guy's completely covered with grease, and he says, Hare Krishna Prabhu, what is your name? He said, I'm Jai Rishi. What is your name? He said, I'm Jayananda. Jayananda was very expert in working with cars, so he was just have some old jeans and some old t-shirts and just go underneath the car covered with black grease and everything, working on the car. He had this idea he's going to meet a pure devotee. There's a pure devotee in San Francisco. He has clean dhoti and completely shaved head and sikha very nicely tied and not walking across the temple room floor without even touching the ground. He had this idea. He met a pure devotee rolling out from underneath the car covered with grease. And Jayananda, it's impossible to describe his humility. As Bhaktisiddhanta said, Prabhupada wanted to come on the stage, but he wouldn't even come on the stage. He was just so humble. Although it's true, you know, when you heard, Bhakti said, you know, when you heard Jayananda's classes, it was from another world, you know. He spoke from, as Bhakti said, he spoke from realization. And just ecstatic classes. They weren't so filled with so many slokas. He knew a few slokas, but it was just, you know, you have to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. He was totally dedicated to serving Prabhupada and Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned his love for prasadam, because whoever worked on the cart, we always got prasadam. There's always prasadam. No matter what, midnight, all of a sudden, this whole pot of halava would suddenly appear, and every Dayananda would feed everyone prasadam. He loves prasadam once. He told me personally one time that when he said, when I'm sick, I eat more. Now, usually when you're sick, you're supposed to eat less, you know, to help your body recover. He said, well, I eat more, so all the germs will get purified. But my favorite story about Jayananda and Prasadam was one time, there was two temples. There was one in San Francisco, and there was a temple in Berkeley. In Berkeley, Dhanavir, who was now Goswami that time, he was Dhanavir Das Brahmachari, who was enthusiasm personified. But a little simple. So, and Jayananda and Keshava were there in San Francisco. Keshava was temple president, I think, at that time. Actually, Keshava, he also just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he left his body. He was the one who first started big book division with Krishna books. So anyway, Jayananda and Keshava were a pair. So they called up Dhanavir and said, there's some penitentiary, I think it's called San Quentin or something like that, on the other side of the bay. The San Francisco side of the bay and the Berkeley side of the bay. You got to cross over the bridge. So we have this program in the penitentiary. We're going to preach to the prisoners. So we need you to make lots and lots of halava with lots and lots of butter. In the West, instead of using ghee, we use butter. And I tell you, butter halava has got a different taste than ghee halava. It is just not in the same class. Is it? Butter halava just got a different taste. You got to put tons and tons of butter in it. And you got to make Simply Wonderfuls with lots of strawberries and lots of butter. They made this huge, so Dhanavir, Mr. Enthusiasm, and very simple, he heard, he got the order from Jayananda, so he made this pots and pots of halava, trays and trays of Simply Wonderfuls. So they jumped in the temple van, which the accelerator pedal wasn't there, just Jayananda tied a string around his toe and a string around the little stick where the pedal was supposed to be, and he was somehow with his other foot using the brake and the clutch, all with his one foot using his toe, just to stop accelerating, you know, pulling on this like this. They had this old panel truck. So they drove over to Berkeley and they picked up all the Berkeley devotees and they picked up all the prasadam, loaded into the van, and there was supposed to be a window, but the window was gone between the cab and the back. So they start driving down the highway, and Jayananda says to Keshava, you know, Keshava, I bet the devotees would distribute the prasadam with much more enthusiasm if they had a little taste. What do you think, Keshava? Jayananda, I think that's a great idea. Hey, he yelled through the window in the back there, make some plates of halava and Simply Wonderfuls for all the devotees, and pass 2 plates up here. So then they're going down the road, and Jayananda's, you know, somehow driving with his toe, using the brake and the clutch with one foot on the other side, and eating this halava and Simply Wonderfuls all at the same time. Not recommended, but anyway, that was Jayananda. And Jayananda says to Keshava, that was really good, wasn't it? And Keshava, yeah, Jayananda, really nice halava Dhanavir made. He said, what do you think, Keshava? Should we pass out a little more? I think it's a good idea. Hey, back there, pass out a little more halava and Simply Wonderfuls to everyone. So they made all these, and pass 2 plates up here for us. So they passed out a little more like that, and they're driving along, and everyone's eating, and Jayananda says to Keshava, that was really great. What about a little more? So they passed out a little more, and all of a sudden, Dhanavir, he looks in the pot, halava, there's only a few little grains sticking to the side of the pot. Not one speck of halava left. And the trays are Simply Wonderful, just a little, you know, you roll them in after they're finished, you roll them in the milk powder, so they're all whitish, So just a little milk powder crumbs are there. There's nothing left whatsoever. And Donovan goes, oh no, we're so fallen. We're so fallen. All that food that was meant for the poor conditioned souls, we've eaten all that prasadam. And he was just crying like this. Then he drove up to the penitentiary. And the guard comes out, opens up the door. He says, you got any food? You know it's illegal to bring any food inside the prison. No, sir, we don't have any food in this bed. They knew all along it was all their plot. That was Jayananda with Prasadam. And Jayananda, like I said, he was everyone's special friend, just like we heard about Banana Louis. And somehow or other, because all the vegetables and everything, it's all run by the Italian mafia, so Louis. Banana Louis. So somehow or other, he got 2 tons of plums from somebody else. And we were coming down, I guess, from Portland, or either up from LA or Portland, I can't remember now. Must have been coming down from Portland. And so the Jayananda rented this big warehouse. Now plums have got this big pit inside. So we have to get those pits out so we can make plum chutney, Radha Red. So we're all there, but those pits, they're sort of got like a serrated edge, you know. And we're all there in this warehouse, you know, breaking open these plums and pulling out the pits. After a while, your fingers, your thumb became completely red. But anyway, it was for Jayananda. Another time when I was temple president of Portland, Oregon, I came down, and in the old days I was a famous cook in our movement. Everybody knew on the East Coast was Narottamananda, who was the first pujari for Radharas Bihari, and also here, I think, no? And on the West Coast is Dinabandhu. So Jayananda comes, and they had this special cooker that they just bought. It was a steam cooker. It had these 2 big rectangular compartments, and there was a double wall, so steam would circulate all around the 3 sides of the compartment and cook everything. And you could put, like, you know, 50 kilos in each compartment. And then there was a big double-walled jacket thing, like this, big pot like this also, with double wall, and steam would go all around like that. So Jayananda came to Dinabandhu. We got 1 ton of cauliflower and 1 ton of potatoes. And we need to have them cooked up by tomorrow morning. So we had this whole crew cutting up, and I was there, you know, with throwing everything in and throwing it into this big vat, you know, and everything would just take 15 minutes to cook, you know, 200 kilos of sabji, you know, and throw it in the big pot. And I was there stirring it around, throwing in the spices, throwing in the sour cream we used to make. That was our favorite, potatoes, cauliflower, and sour cream. And putting in all the, we didn't even bother to cook the green peppers or the tomatoes, because that steam jacket thing was so hot, it would cook automatically just sitting there. We just mix everything up like this, this big pot, and every once in a while they're pulling out another 200 kilos coming out. By the end of the night, I was cooked. By next morning, I was completely cooked. I never cooked 2 tons of sabji in my life, ever since. But that was Jayananda. He could get you to do things that was impossible to do. And his kirtans were unimaginable. It was just, he took you straight to Goloka Vrindavan with his kirtans. It was like Prabhupada said, when he sang Guru Puja or Gurvastikam, you know, tears would come in your eyes because he sang with so much love. He had so much love for Prabhupada. And what other stories are there?
I can tell a few stories, and you can remember a few more.
Okay.
I got this. Just let me tell one more about the cooking. That he was in New York, and in New York kitchen, they got these gigantic, huge ovens. And so he and Maheshwar went out, let's clean up the kitchen. So the two of them disappeared into the kitchen, and then Mysore is asking, Jayananda, where are you? I'm over here. So where are you? And he's in the oven. He's taking the whole oven apart. You know, he's an engineer, so he's got the whole oven all apart. He's cleaning the whole thing. He's covered in grease. And so grease was a very, you know, common thing for him. One time when they're doing those carts on the end there in 76, one devotee, Raghunath, and somebody asked Jayananda, where's the prasad? And we're waiting, and we've got no prasad. So he took one can, it's axle grease, a petroleum jelly, it's black, and they use it for bearings, you know, in the cars, you know, it's very thick, black, ugly. I've tasted it, no good, you can't taste it. So he said, well, here it is, it belongs to Lord Jagannath, it's my prasad, here, have some. No, I'm not going to eat that stuff. He said, well, I will. And so he took a big hunk of that and he ate it. And then the other guy ate it. And so Adikesha was supposed to eat it. So, no, you guys are crazy, I'm not going to eat that stuff. And so when he first met Prabhupada, the first time, Prabhupada's getting off of the plane, and he runs up to Prabhupada, grabs him, hugs him, and swings him around. He did this to Prabhupada. He didn't know how to greet a pure devotee. The Prabhupada called him and said, listen, next time we meet, this is how you do it. Just offer your obeisances. And so this was Jayananda, you know, just fully enthusiastic, you know. Now, he called me into a meeting. Okay, Mukunda was there, and Jayananda, and Keshava. And so it was a meeting they had about the next festival, Rath Yatra in Los Angeles. They were organizing to get this thing underway. They were first thinking, bring the carts from the temple to the ocean. Then it's now just right along the ocean. Okay, so it happened that I made a change in body display. And so then this photographer, Edie Adams, was going to take a picture. That picture would go on all the magazines. And so they told Jayananda about this. And he says, call Bhakti, call me. I went over. I go in the meeting and Jayananda. You couldn't say no to Jayananda, no matter what. So he asked me, you're going to make it again? I already did it twice. I made a small one and a big one in the museum. But the museum was too close. You couldn't get a picture. So I did it. I made the third one, and that was Jayananda. Now, his force, his energy, it was like so strong that he asked you to do something, you did it, you know.
We were talking about Jayananda and going to the vegetable market. Jayananda's paraphernalia was always prasadam. He always used to give everybody prasadam. And nobody could say Jayananda, so he said, just call me Johnny. Johnny Ananda. And for years afterwards in the vegetable markets, whenever any devotee would go, because he touched people's hearts, like I was saying, you know, everybody felt that Jayananda was their very special personal friend. Even these old mafia guys in the vegetable markets, they would ask, hey, where's that guy with the cook? We don't see him anymore. Another time, Jayananda was the one who would always have to go and get the permit for the Rath Yatra festival and everything. And Jayananda was so expert that they even declared Rath Yatra Day. The city made an official proclamation. This is an official proclamation for the city, Rath Yatra Day. After Jayananda disappeared, one devotee, he had the duty of going and getting the permission. So this time, there was a lady who was the mayor, and he finally had to go and get the mayor's signature on the permission. Now this is way, 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 way back. There was no such thing as a lady mayor. This is the old days, you know, when women's liberation was just taking off. So any woman who could get to a top position like mayor of San Francisco, she had to be a tough woman. This is the old days. You know, now women are in all types of jobs. But this was old, old days. And to become the mayor of San Francisco, she had to be a tough lady. So he comes in to get the permit signed, and she looks and she sees it for Rath Yatra. And she says, where's Johnny? Because she used to work in the department below that, you know, had to send it up to the mayor, before she was mayor. She used to work in that department. Johnny used to always come and get her signature on the thing. And devotee said, well, Dayananda's passed on. Now here's this lady way back in the 60s when a woman in a mayor's position was very rare, tough lady. As soon as she heard that Dayananda's passed on, in front of an unknown person, she just broke down on her desk and started sobbing. That's how Dayananda touched people. And about that time when he was making the card in New York, one night, Keshava Maharaj, he told me this story. He was up late one night and he saw Dayananda just walking down the hallway. Just like Prabhupada said, he kept all the symptoms of his leukemia covered up. He didn't let anybody know he was sick, but still he was working day and night. And he saw Dayananda just going down the hall. He was so much pain, he was doubled over like this. And he just happened, his door was open, he saw Dayananda walk by. He said, "Dayananda, what's the matter?" Dayananda means, "Nothing, nothing the matter, nothing." He says, "Dayananda, I saw you, what's the matter?" He said, "Nothing the matter, I'm completely okay." He said, "Dayananda, you're not okay." And he called him in his room. Then he opened up his shirt and he showed all these black sores all over his body. He said, "Dayananda," said, "look, I'll tell you about it, but you can't tell anybody till after Rath Yatra." And Keshava said, "All right, I won't tell anybody till after Rath Yatra's over, but you got to promise me as soon as Rath Yatra's over, you'll go to the hospital." So they made a deal. So he opened up, he showed. He said, "I don't know what it is, but I got all these things, and it's really painful." So despite all of this painful thing, he was working day and night so much, and as Bhakti described, he was dancing joyfully. You can see that picture. Dayananda dancing in front of the car with his jacket turned inside out. His Bhakti said it was he worn it day and night, so he turned it inside out so he couldn't see the dirt. He's dancing in ecstasy down the Fifth Avenue. This was the most amazing Rath Yatra for Srila Prabhupada. He started out in Calcutta on Mahatma Gandhi Road with a little toy cart, and now he's going down the most important city street in the whole world, Fifth Avenue. Prabhupada is going with the Rath Yatra. It was such amazing poignancy that Prabhupada's life, and Dayananda was there dancing and dancing. When they got to Washington Square Park, nobody saw Dayananda anywhere. And the whole festival was over, and finally they started cleaning up. Then they noticed that Dayananda climbed up into the top of the Rath Yatra car where there were these beams. And he was just so tired, he knew nobody would find him there. And he just lay down and went to sleep on top of on these beams inside the car. So then after Rath Yatra, Keshava comes to him, he says, "All right, Dayananda, I kept my word, I didn't tell anybody. But now you got to go to the doctor." So then Dayananda went to the hospital and he calls up Keshava Bharati Maharaj. He says, "The doctor says I got leukemia, it's incurable, I'm going to die. So I want you to bring a big tray of burfi." Keshava Bharati Maharaj said, "What is it? He's got this news, he's going to die, he wants a big tray of burfi prasad." He says, "You bring down a big tray of burfi prasad and bring some kartal." So Keshav comes down to the hospital. He has this big tray of burfi. He said, "You got a knife?" He didn't have a knife. So he took the kartal. With the kartal, he started making lines through the burfi, cutting it into as small as pieces as possible, like this with the kartal. And now he's on this drip and everything, but it's got wheels. And he tells Keshava, "Here, take these kartals, take this prasadam, let's go down to the TV room." So they can hear all the patients are sitting in the TV room. So he comes inside the TV room, you know, the towing the drip, you know, the thing is coming into his arm and he's towing it down the hall. They come into the TV room. Dayananda goes and turns off the TV. Only Dayananda could do this, turn off the TV. When people are watching TV, you don't dare get in between. And he gave a little speech about chanting Hare Krishna, and he handed the kartal to Keshava Bharati, said, "Now do kirtan." So they had this kirtan, they got everybody chanting, and he said, "Now distribute prasadam." This is somebody who just heard that he has a few more weeks to live in this world. And what does he do? He goes out and does a preaching program and distributes prasadam. That was Jayananda. So we could go on telling so many stories about Jayananda. But
there's one more story about he had at the end, he was in charge of the gift shop in the temple in the New York skyscraper. And so my wife and I went into that gift shop just to see what he was doing there. So he jumped out of his wheelchair. He said, "You got to buy something." And so that gift shop was an unknown place and no one sold anything out of there. So as soon as Jayananda got in there, it just went wild. Everybody was, so much stuff got sold. And so he was like that. That vibration that he gave was good right to the very end. There's nobody that could stop Jayananda. And so when you hear these stories, if you can remember that he was just a person, that although he was a superhuman being and he had powers that many didn't, but like all of us, he was executing devotional service very sincerely. He took nothing of his own. There was nothing that he would claim that was his, like Srila Prabhupada. He had temples all over the world, but nothing was really his. And so we should be the same way. Ultimately, lead the life and emanate these great saints like Jayananda. They're exemplary and to be followed by their examples. So in honesty, sincerity, dedication, everything that earmarked devotees in those early days should be still with us today. This is something that we learn from these stories. Jayananda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.